somewhere near William Street, but certainly not at the offices. This is the Adult Swim podcast, April 24th, 2020. I'm Matt Harrigan. With me, Maxime Simonet.
Once again, I'm here doing the same old nonsense. It's so great talking with you about people on this podcast, though. Matt, how are you feeling today?
Doesn't matter. Every day is the same.
Yeah.
On this week's Adult Swim podcast, Andy Merrill. Andy put together the pilot for Space Ghost Coast to Coast. You might know him as the voice of Brack, as well as a lot of other characters. He lives in Los Angeles. That's where we recorded this podcast.
I've listened to it. Was it a fun time for you, a goofy interview, or were you just like, I got to get out of here?
I enjoy talking to all these people. I have legitimate curiosity about people, even you.
It seems like an era, a time, Cartoon Network beginning, the beginning of Adult Swim, a lot of interesting inside baseball. That's fascinating, Matt.
Come on.
I'm serious. I was into it.
Fascinating?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting all that. It's interesting if you search Brack, you can't find any articles. I can't find like much about him on the original Space Ghost show. Like, it feels like just one of those villain characters who exists, of course, so much more in the public eye because of all the spinoffs and reinterpretations. But I feel like even more so than Space Ghost, because at least you can look up Space Ghost clips pretty easy. It's hard to find Brack or his twin brother, Sisto.
Sisto, yeah. Brack was a space cat. Before we get to that, let's check the podcast mailbag.
Now, you say mailbag. It's a cute thing to say because literally it comes in a, I'd almost say, a mail inboxes these days are more of a feed than a bag.
Yeah. What should we call it? Let's check the Adult Swim podcast email, Gmail.
Well, I don't think we have to, you know, prop up Google or anything. I mean,
let's check the Adult Swim podcast Gmail bag. Jack says, is there any place I can find captions for the J.J. Villard podcast?
Could he not understand what he was saying?
Maybe he is deaf.
Or does he
maybe
just
he's hearing impaired.
He wants to study it or something?
I don't know. Should
what,
I respond
what
to him?
What would it cost to get captions?
Let me write him back. I'll look into this. May I ask why?
Maybe be real like obnoxious and send him a word cloud. Let's get some Slack updates in here. I swallowed something like lemon seed or too big cabbage piece. What if I die? That's a good one. Should we address my drama with Mr. Villard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hang on. From Sydney. Just wanted to let you know that I really love the interview with J.J. Villard. I'm a suffering animation student, and a lot of people don't talk about the real shit of the animation world.
See, that's what I was saying.
I feel like that just taught me more than my expensive-ass art school. Good job. Thank you, Sydney.
Wasn't that what I prefaced the interview? I said, if you want to, like, he's got a lot of, like, loud advice for it. That's exactly what I was saying would resonate. I found it fascinating. I didn't, like, learn any business shit in school. I didn't really want to, but, like, he had, I don't know, he seemed to have just an experience and an outlook that was interesting about
unfiltered.
That.
Unfiltered.
And you told me he got angry I said that.
He said, "That who is Maxime Simonet?" I said, oh, yeah, he does the, I guess I gave him an obvious answer. He does the podcast with me.
I'm a fan of his, okay? He doesn't have to, I wasn't being mean, you know?
He just said I was giving advice to college kids.
Well, there you go. Some college kids said it was great.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to give it?
I don't know.
Imagine if I said this. J.J. Villard, you know, he tried really hard to make cartoons, but all he's done in life is give advice to college kids.
Right. That wouldn't.
That's
that
not at all
right.
What I said. Nah, J.J., you're doing great. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you ribbed me back. I don't know how to present that.
You have the platform now. Take a shot at him.
You know what, J.J. Villard? Choose a letter and use it once.
Yeah, one J would have been fine. Yeah. One L. Anyway.
Wait, I've got one more chat update.
Yeah.
Rebecca writes, has Matt been crying?
Have I been crying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think the last time I cried. It's been a while, but yes, I have been crying.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't remember what it was about, so I guess it's okay. Send your requests, comments, concerns, criticisms to adultswimpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll potentially answer them. I don't know. On the network, Beef House and Three Busy Debras continues Sundays at midnight. Here's my chat with Andy Merrill. Andy Merrill.
Now, in cut when the robocallers call and the telemarketers call, it's Merrill. So that's always
Mr. Merrill.
Yeah, that's always.
Who the hell is named Merrill? That's such a weird one.
Is Andy Merrill there?
When did I meet you? What year?
My
was that?
My guardian says I can't talk on the phone.
94. You were sitting in a cube.
It was had to have been somewhere around there.
Yeah.
When did you start? You started after the show started.
I started on Space Ghost August 94.
4 months after the show aired. Because we started the whole putting it together in 93. It took us a year to put together that first pilot piece of shit.
So I've known you forever, feels like. But yeah. I'm going to introduce you to people who don't know you. Where are you from?
I'm from Newark, Ohio.
Where's that?
That is central Ohio. Uh-huh. It's the county seat of Licking County.
Licking County.
Licking County,
oh,
which
shit.
Is right next to Franklin County, where Columbus, uh-huh. the capital, is.
What do you tell people your career has been over the past 30
years? Like what
years?
I do?
Yeah. What do you do?
I normally say writer first.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I would say, I'm the voice of Brack, people would be like, what is that? Because this is true. Like, anytime anybody would go out of Cartoon Network and go in a bar or go out in public, and if they were wearing some Brack paraphernalia, everybody would be like, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. And anytime I would go out, everybody would be, who's that on your chest?
Some would say that Brack was arguably more popular than anybody else on the network at the time.
He might have been.
Do you look at the network now and you think about what it was like there at the beginning? You were at the beginning.
I was there for 23 years.
Wow. Who hired you?
I met with Lazo and a guy named Dick Connell, who was also in programming. And both Lazo and Dick were like, hey, Betty, you need to see this guy. So they took me up to Betty Cohen's office and had me talk to her. And
what were you doing in Atlanta?
I was working at CNN.
Oh, what were you doing?
Wanting to work in broadcasting. So
you came to CNN to be
an editor.
An editor.
Because that's what I studied in college.
Did they hire
Well,
you?
I studied television in college, but we learned a lot about the technical side. I also did like plays and stuff, so I was on the performing side too. But I started as a VJ, which is a video journalist, they called it. And what you would do is cue talent to the camera and rip scripts and separate the scripts and give the scripts to the anchors that would treat you like shit.
And they treat you like shit?
Oh, yeah.
Who? Call them out.
Not all of them.
Who was nasty?
Lou Waters. Lou Waters was the worst.
He was?
He was the guy with the white hair, kind of like Ted Baxter.
Yeah.
And he would use an entire can of hairspray every commercial break.
Lou Waters.
Lou Waters.
Lou, if you're listening.
Lou, if you're listening, you're a dick. He's probably dead.
So you wanted to get out of there?
Well,
you heard
but I had worked my way up to satellite feeds where I would take in the feeds from the different outside reporters and put them on tape. And then I was like the tape person. So I would have to run like four different machines during any news show that I was on.
Kind of like a DJ.
Yeah. And they don't do that now because it's all computerized. But
So why'd you how'd you get the cartoon?
I saw on the company bulletin board. Well, first I saw news that Ted had bought the Hanna-Barbera library. So I didn't know what he was going to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I just saw the job listings at CNN, and it said Cartoon Network entry programming.
What does that mean to be entry programming?
It was like that's kind of a ground floor job.
Uh-huh.
You're just taking cartoons and scheduling them for air.
So you went and met with Lazo?
Met with Lazo.
Do you remember what that was like?
Yeah. He was nice then. he had just come from TBS, and before that he worked in the mailroom. So we were all kind of humble little tiny employees in, in the tiny Turner Broadcasting System. That was back in the day where it felt like a family organization, because basically the ladder was me, Lazo, Betty, Ted. So you're always like four people away from Ted.
Wow. Did Ted come by? Did you ever see him?
No, I only saw him at CNN interviewing. He was getting interviewed by Maria Shriver.
So Lazo hires you. You sit near him. What do you guys do?
Just program cartoons.
And that's basically...
Oh, yeah. We program cartoons. We would come up like about... a few months into it, we started coming up with stunts because they wanted to focus on a different character each month. So I think the month before Space Ghost Month, I think, was Morocco Mole from Secret Squirrel. And then so we had planned a little Secret Squirrel marathon around that. And then in the month of June of 93... was Space Ghost Month. And so we were just sitting around coming up with ideas for a marathon and crap like that. And I think it was Khaki that we were coming up with names. She came up with Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And I guess Lazo kind of had this idea of basically doing a talk show. Being the editor that I was, took a Space Ghost cartoon, recorded Denzel Washington off of a CNN entertainment show, and kind of threw it all together in the editing booth. And that's how the pilot came to be.
So you're a programming guy, and you moved up, presumably, in the ranks. Is that how that works?
There's no like level of programming, but Lazo, one thing about Lazo is that, when we started, you know, we had such low salaries because, CNN just had really low salaries, but, I had to have two jobs when I worked at CNN.
Two jobs at CNN?
No, I had a CNN job and then I worked at Bennigan's.
Server?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Do you remember how much you made at CNN?
15.
15 an hour?
$15,000.
Oh, shit. You had me beat, man. I was making 12.5.
Wow. Then I went to Cartoon Network and they said 1850 and I was 18,500 and I was like, "Wow."
I can eat another meal.
I'm going to be rich. But then Lazo, I don't know how he justified it or anything, would give Khaki and I like 75% raises or whatever back then.
Wow.
And that happened twice. And then I think he couldn't do it anymore.
Uh-huh. So Space Ghost comes along and does your programming job go away?
I didn't stop programming until Warner Brothers, ordered 26 episodes of Space Ghost.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. I was working on Space Ghost until maybe, episode 10.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just kind of getting tired of the BS and, decided I wanted to just kind of cool it for a while.
What was the BS? I'm sure people look back on it and be like, what could be BS that would chase you away from a show?
Well, it was, I can describe what it was like during the Warner Brothers 24 season.
Uh-huh.
Cause it just felt like you were locked in a room and yelled at every day. But, I don't know. I think I got tired of, it just seemed like at the time that the loudest person in the room would get their ideas put on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just couldn't yell anymore.
Who was there?
It was Khaki, Matt Malero, Lazo, and
Cahill?
Cahill.
Yeah.
Michael Cahill.
Michael Cahill.
Yeah. And I was kind of still kind of very religious at the time. So Cahill and Lazo would go, "Let's throw in this sacrilegious Jesus joke.
I'm like, yes.
I don't know if I want to do that because I don't want to go to hell.
So that was a Spanish translation.
Was it?
I think it was, right? TNT Latin America?
Oh, yeah. They hated pissed? Us.
So they would put in Pope jokes?
Yeah, they put in Pope jokes. The people, we were in this new building, and we were like butted up right next to Captain America, Latin America, and so they hated us.
Why'd they hate you?
They didn't hate.
Did you torture them?
Us. They couldn't stand Lazo.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, he was messing. Or with
the maybe
Pope.
They hated us because we were so loud.
Yeah.
But at some point, I took this PR photo of Lazo, and I blew it up on the Xerox to where it was about 50 to 80 times the size, and I hung it up on the wall so Lazo would be staring at them every day.
So what happened when that joke came through? It was Space Ghost was or Zorak was at Vatican City, and you saw it and you bristled?
No, it wasn't. It was nothing like Catholic or Popey. It was I was very set in my ways. But, you know, all I could think of was breaking my parents' hearts.
Yeah. They would have been upset by it.
My mom would have.
So you were sort of more interested probably in the softer side of Cartoon Network and less so in the burgeoning adult push?
I think so, because I was so innocent then.
Yeah.
There was a time where Matt and Adam and I...
Matt Thompson, Adam Reed,
they were in On Air, and we had met at like Matt's house with a couple other guys. I can't remember them. They probably worked on C-Lab. And we were going to write a sketch show. And I just opted out after the first one because it wasn't religious jokes. It was just nothing but boobs. I can't write dirty stuff.
You can't.
To this day, I can't write dirty stuff. Unless it's horribly comedic.
What was like...
I thought it was funny that they wanted to do all these religious and Pope jokes, yet Lazo knee-jerked when... What episode did we have where we had originally had a scene from the scene from Gone with the Wind where Scarlett O'Hara falls down the stairs?
Yeah.
He had an opening where Moltar is just watching it, laughing his head off, and then like reversing it and doing it again.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's the scene where Scarlett lost her baby and Ted would be really mad. And it's like, Olivia de Havilland didn't have a baby in there at the time.
So he pulled that out of fear of repercussions from Ted?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I feel like I remember seeing that. It didn't end up on the show.
No, that's where Chips came in.
Oh.
We had Moltar watching Chips.
Instead. So you guys could just borrow footage from the Turner Library to put in shows. No. You did.
Mostly we could.
Uh-huh.
Cartoon Planet and Rudy and Go-Go.
Right.
Wouldn't be able to air as they did because we stole so many things from the TCM library.
Wow.
Barry Mills went a little farther with Rudy and Go-Go and was taking like footage from Popeye cartoons and stuff. And the Popeye people are very precious about their cartoon.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the first season, you start to pull away from Space Ghost.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable with the direction.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was doing Cartoon Planet at the same time.
At Space Ghost?
Yeah.
You started up Cartoon
Planet. So that's why I went. It was like Pete was put in charge of Cartoon Planet.
Uh-huh.
And so he and I were just working so hard on it that...
Pete Smith.
Yeah, Pete Smith.
Uh-huh.
that we decided to focus all our time on that. In the meantime, I was still programming.
Wow.
But Cartoon Planet was easy to do because you just write these little tiny little segments and screw around in the audio booth and make up stuff. And that to me was a lot more appealing than trying to create a whole 15-minute show.
You could knock out a bunch of little segments.
Yeah, we made like 500 or 600
wow.
segments.
Where are those now?
Somewhere in the Cartoon Network archive.
Does
the
Cartoon
Adult
show
Swim archive? No. No, because the music rights.
How did Cartoon Planet come around? I don't remember.
Ted, not Ted. Who was under Ted?
Scott
anyway.
Sassa?
Yeah. He liked how Space Ghost was doing and wanted some of that on TBS, but they couldn't have Space Ghost.
So that was the TBS show?
It was originally a TBS show.
Oh, and that's Pete. So Pete was working at TBS.
Pete was at TBS. I went over there, and it was originally just wraparound stuff. It was just little snippets of Space Ghost and Zorak and Brack, and they were like from less to a minute to maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And they were just to be between the cartoons.
Cartoon wraparounds for a cartoon afternoon show.
Yeah. It was they packaged it as Cartoon Planet and it was just cartoons.
So the characters behaved a little differently.
A little lighter.
Yeah.
There was still that animosity between Zorak and Space Ghost,
yeah.
But then Brack came in and was a little added levity because he was the comic relief.
So Brack had already come through on Space Ghost, correct?
Brack had only been on that Christmas episode where we sang the 12 Days of Christmas.
Right.
And I just happened to be Brack in the writer's room saying, "Hi, my name is Brack,"
uh-huh.
whenever.
You just scream it.
For a partridge in a pear tree.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know, I guess Lazo wanted to add that to Cartoon Planet. So that's how Brack sort of was reborn.
That was a President's Day Nightmare, which aired across TBS,
yes,
TNT, and Cartoon Network.
It was to showcase the new animators.
Right. Gendy Tartakovsky,
Craig McCracken.
Yeah.
That other guy.
Van Partible. The Yucky Duck guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. The Yucky Duck guy.
Uh-huh.
He would do the new Georgian Jr. shorts.
Oh.
I never liked his stuff.
So Cartoon Planet was a sort of a gentler, softer version of Space Ghost. Lighter.
Right.
Zorak.
And then it got popular.
Uh-huh.
So
how did you know it was popular?
I don't know. I guess the ratings on TBS were all right.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought it back to Cartoon Network.
Why did they bring it back to Cartoon?
Just so they would have an extra little Space Ghost thing to have.
It seems weird to have those two characters being presented slightly differently on the same channel.
They weren't so very different. I think Cartoon Planet might have helped in the evolution of the characters
uh-huh.
and made Space Ghost more of a clumsy doof
uh-huh.
than
an erratic weirdo.
We could be more evil with Zorak on Coast to Coast,
uh-huh.
but not as evil in Space Ghost.
Hmm, that's interesting.
I brought Cartoon Planet back in 2012 for the 20th anniversary of the network. And they had to reanimate everything.
Why?
Because we moved it to HD.
Oh.
So I took advantage of that because we couldn't. We had so little money we couldn't have George in it. So I had to choose between Zorak or Space Ghost, and I thought Zorak and Brack were more.
Uh huh.
Because I didn't. I volunteered my voice and stuff for that because it was just fun. But yeah, we brought it back. So I kind of took advantage of that and took them out of the studio and put them in like a post department in Atlanta.
Yep. Post department being sort of a, just, how would you describe that? Just a generic, clean, modern, franchise apartments.
So the whole time I have Brack behind the kitchen counter. It's like the camera was in the kitchen pointing at him, a wall in the background. Zorak was, there were two different things we did with Zorak that were new, which was had him sit cross legged and use a gamer. Yeah, Eric Lacombe did all that stuff.
He did that?
Uh-huh.
No shit.
So the whole time.
His team dumpster hole.
The whole time, Zorak is just there ignoring the world playing video games. My daughter was like six back then. Mm-hmm. I did a couple segments where Brack cloned himself in Zorak and Space Ghost. And I had my daughter do all the voices.
Why did Cartoon Planet go away?
Because of that Warner Brothers deal.
Uh-huh.
Warner Brothers ordered those like 24 episodes, so they needed all the hands that they could have. Uh-huh. So they brought Pete and I back into Coast to Coast.
Oh.
It was a good year. It was like the best year for guests because we had everybody. We had Bob and Dave.
Oh, right. We had, that batch.
Yeah, we had we even got Charlton Heston somehow.
And who was working with you on it then?
It was Dave Willis, who Pete and I hired as an assistant on Cartoon Planet.
Tell us how you hired Dave Willis.
We were given the room to get an assistant. So Pete and I went through a bunch of interviews and stuff, and I came across... while we were going through resumes and stuff, I came across this recommendation letter that he had written. David Willis is such a great person, and he's very well educated and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like a normal letter would have looked stupid, but his sister was a kindergarten teacher at the time. And so he took his letter and had his sister have one of the students write it down on the 3-ruled paper, in their handwriting. And so I, before we even talked to Dave, I wanted to bring him in.
Yeah.
And hire him.
Who gets hired from a recommendation letter?
I know. It's like Dave did.
Yeah. Dave did.
And I don't know if they hired Chip Duffy at the time.
Yeah.
Chip was in PR. Uh-huh. And, had a weird sense of humor, so they hired him, and they brought Pete and I in, so it was us four that did that whole season, although there were guest writers here and there.
So how was that being back working on Space Ghost? 24 episodes, it must have been rough.
It was fun at first, but then it was just like same old shit,
so people who haven't worked in a room like that, What
I think the four of us worked well together. Mm-hmm. And
this is you, Chip, Pete,
and Dave. Uh-huh. And we would take turns on different shows who would drive, which was who was on the computer.
Right.
Most of the time, if you were driving, you kind of have a little more influence in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we would write individual episodes ourselves, or at least I would, mm-hmm. and Dave would. And, we would bring them in the room.
What were some of your episodes?
Mine was Mayonnaise with Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
The other one that people would probably know the best is Boat Show,
mm-hmm.
The musical.
Yeah. Can't believe we got Steve Allen.
Yeah. I can't believe we got him either. I know. And that, I can't believe we got Steve Allen. And yeah, they. during the Steve Allen interview, I was like, I gotta talk to him. And so I talked to him as Brack, and he was like, I know Brackies. Steve Allen wasn't just made up this language. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I peed my pants.
Yeah, you did. People often ask, like, how did Space Ghost start? And was it you doing the interviews? Walk people through that process. There from the beginning.
It started out because nobody else wanted to do it, that I did the interviews dressed as Space Ghost. Mm-hmm. But I think Keith interviewed Timothy Leary.
Oh.
And
Keith interviewed him?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
The eclectic ones, I think, were saved for Keith and Mike.
Yeah, they wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
Do those.
But they would send me in dressed as Space Ghost, and I would interview people as Space Ghost, and it was humiliating. And then after a while, I stopped doing it, and we would just write questions, have an actor come in dressed as Space Ghost.
Yeah.
And then after a while, that would be stupid. So then we would put a thing in the interviewee's ear.
Uh-huh.
Say, look to the left of the camera
right
when you're talking, and just interview them over the phone.
So then you wade through this season of 24 Space Ghost episodes, grueling. Then what?
After that, I was pretty much done.
You were cooked.
Yeah. So then I went on to help build the Space Ghost part of the Cartoon Network website, because that was the new thing that was coming on, you know, the web pages.
Yeah. What is this, like 99, 2000?
98. And I know that because I got married that year.
Oh. Congratulations.
Because I noticed this girl while I was in the writer's room come in every day, and she had this corner office that I could see in her office from. I wasn't stalking her.
Creepy, yeah.
It sounds creepy, but she liked me. And it took her to put candy on her desk for me to go over there and talk to her.
Wow, she left you a little bait.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So we got married after that. And now look at us.
Wow, here you are 20 years later.
After we got married, we left Atlanta and went to New York.
That's a big move.
I had a really good agent and a really amazing manager who was the executive producer of 30 Rock.
Wow.
David Miner was my manager.
No shit.
And I blew it. I really didn't do much.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I made good money off of a failed script that year.
So
I thought I could fail the rest of my life and be happy.
You went to New York and to try and sell shows there. Why'd you go to New York?
Stacy got a job with Nielsen.
Uh-huh.
And I just wrote from home. I did some stuff for VH1. I did, like I said, a failed sitcom about a theater in Sugar Creek that had some in Sugar Creek, Ohio, mm-hmm. where some of the Amish live. So it was kind of an Amish regular people sitcom. So we came back because Stacy was a little homesick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically got our jobs back. Stacy went back into research at TNT, but then came back to Cartoon Network.
Huh. Full circle.
I went back to Cartoon Network programming. And then Mike wanted me to come back for more Space Ghost and Squidbillies, but I couldn't wrap my head around Squidbillies. And everybody was burned out of Space Ghost. And Space Ghost kind of just like fizzled out. And at that point, Pete Johnson, who works at he works at Lego now in Denmark.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He wanted me to come over to On Air because Steve Patrick Steve Patrick was doing a wraparound show called Fridays.
Right.
And so Pete wanted me to come in and help with that. So I did. I was there for like 11 years. I was on air for 11 years. So I went from Fridays to just regular doing creative for promos and stuff. And then I worked my way up to launching new network shows. And it was doing the whole campaign around that. And I was a senior writer the whole time. And then Turner had its little Turner 2020 plans where it laid off like half the network, basically.
Right.
And they laid off the executive first. And by that time, my wife was the senior vice president of programming. And so they got rid of her and the head of the network. They got rid of pretty much everybody in a VP position. And so that was in like April. And there's really nothing to do in Atlanta other than Weather Channel at the time. Now that Tyler Perry's got his studio,
right.
Walking Dead, everybody's doing stuff in Atlanta now. I go to LA.
Yeah.
And that's
how do you
about
like it?
I want to work more.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, you have a famous voice.
I've had the opportunity to be on shows other than Warner Brothers, finally.
Yeah.
Once I left. So, I did Gravity Falls for Alex Hirsch. I did, like, 3 episodes. I did a few more episodes of Adventure Time. I did Harvey Beaks for Nickelodeon and another show called Welcome to the Wayne, where they were big fans of Aqua Teen, so they had us all on. So yeah,
list your voices that you've done.
Hackum, Brack first and foremost. I was Lokar,
of course.
Lokar,
a weird character
filled with ribaldry. I did the sorcerer. Who was just in the band. He was like, I don't want to do this, Zorak. And then we did the Brack show, and I was Clarence, Brack's best friend, which was one of my favorite things because I just did this little la, 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 little nerdy boy voice. Mm-hmm. And we did a whole show about how he was a big fan of Brack. So I got to make fun of like some of the songs that we did in the past and all that. I was Oglethorpe and Aqua Teen.
How did that come about?
I was the second Oglethorpe.
What do you mean?
The original Oglethorpe, I don't know. They just weren't happy with how he did it.
Uh-huh.
So they just brought me in and had me read. And I always come up with a couple different voices.
Yeah. Do you remember what you did?
I don't. Outside of the German Hitler voice, no. I kind of thought, what about a bumbling Hitler tyrant type person? So that's how that voice came to be. Oh, I did Assy McGee for you.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do on Assy?
I was supposed to be like Cat Stevens or somebody like that. Yusuf. I know I did a terrible accent on that. It was terrible.
I don't remember. What the role was.
I don't remember either.
How did Cartoon Planet turn into the Brack Show?
That was Pete, because I lived in New York at the time. So it kind of morphed from different things. Cartoon Planet, Brack was still popular because we had put him in some more Space Ghost Coast to Coast episodes. So Pete devised this idea of doing like a Donnie and Marie show, a variety show. And so we got some guests to come in and perform on green screen and put them on set. And it was just a variety show with Brack and Zorak. And Brack and Zorak would sing their songs and they would do little skits here and there. And then we would have, you know, the celebrity come on and sing. I did all my recording there in New York, and because I was in New York and Freddie Prinze Jr. happened to be there too, I actually recorded with him.
Oh, what was that like?
It was fun. He was a fan. Mm-hmm. We did Highway 40. He liked it. He had fun. I was a little, I wasn't, not starstruck, but, you know, celebrities at the time made me nervous. Uh-huh. So,
you were nervous.
I was nervous. It was fun.
The CDs that you made, how many CDs did you end up making? Those were popular.
There was Musical Barbecue. There was that other one, the Hawaiian one.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Brack Presents the Brack Show.
Musical Barbecue seems like a lot of people have that. I wonder how many CDs.
Whenever I am signing stuff, that's the thing that comes out most of the time.
Musical Barbecue?
Musical Barbecue and the first Brack Show DVD.
Oh. So that's what you get the most is Musical Barbecue?
Yeah.
You play that for the children in your life?
Yeah, that's the only really exposure to Brack my daughter's had.
Really?
Yeah. I never showed her Space Ghost or Cartoon Planet. Well, I've showed her maybe some segments of Cartoon Planet.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, I don't know.
You don't bust out a Brack in her face?
Yeah. Well, I she knows I do the voice all uh-huh. the time. Even she did the voice one time when she was six.
How does she do it? She good?
I sat in the studio with her, and I barely had to direct her, but she could imitate me really well.
Oh, really?
And then I kind of did an imitation. Well, she had met Clay.
Uh-huh.
I did an imitation of Zorak for her, and she did this. I'm Zorak. And then I think I had her say, ah, fair. And then just as an extra joke, even though we didn't have George on the latter Cartoon Planets, I had her say something like, what was... All righty then. Do that.
What was your relationship like with George and Clay?
I don't mean to pause this much, mm-hmm. but we were good friends. I didn't hang out with either of them.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of that coworker slash relationship, and then in the booth when I'm directing them, it just seemed like it was easier for me to direct some of them, some of the reads. But you know, sharing the booth with Clay in the original sessions for the new Cartoon Planet was a lot of fun. Because we would just play off of each other.
You guys would record.
Yeah, there were a couple things I wrote where Brack's like, let's make fun of stuff on the TV. And I had there was a kitten on the TV, and I had Brack and Zorak's hands holding a root beer bottle. Brack was holding a root beer bottle, and I don't know what Zorak was holding. And he was like, I'm a dumb cat, and I'm drinking root beer. And he's like, banging the root beer bottle against the TV. But we did all those in together. But yeah. Yeah. When Clay died, I found out on Facebook, everybody was like, are you okay? And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then I saw what happened. And I was like, I was just like, kind of like blown away. It happened so fast, and I kind of held it in for like an entire week. And then of all places, we were in line at the Hello Kitty cafe truck in Irvine. Wow. And all of a sudden it just hit me hard, and I doubled over, and I was just started crying. It was the first time my daughter had ever seen me cry. She's like, what's wrong with daddy?
Why do you think it hit you there?
I don't know, because it had been in my mind for all that time, and I hadn't really grieved. So, I don't know. Hmm. Then we did, like a year later, maybe if that, I did a tribute panel with him at the LA Comic Con. Not with him, for him.
Oh.
And it was with John Schnapp.
Yeah.
And Jay Edwards. So, and that was the last time I saw John Schnapp because he tragically died a couple years ago.
Yep.
So
you have a pretty broad comedic taste that goes back. What are some things that you would turn people onto that they might not know?
If you can find it, just some of the old Steve Allen stuff with Pat Harrington and Don Knotts. And Tom Poston, they did a lot of skits on The Tonight Show when Steve Allen was the host of that. So those are really funny. I often look up a song called Going Crazy by the quote unquote Three Haircuts. And that was from Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows. And it's Carl Reiner, Harry, Ernest T. Bass. Anyway, it's Carl Reiner, him and Sid Caesar. And they have these stupid pompadour wigs on and they're just trying to make fun of the music of the day. I encourage the younger people to listen to the 4 Steve Martin albums that are out there.
Do you watch Adult Swim these days?
No.
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 You reject it?
No, I don't reject it. Uh-huh. I just, you know, I watch Daily Show. And
yeah. What do you watch? You watch Daily Show?
I watch Daily Show. Uh-huh. I really like what they're doing with Star Trek right now. I watch a lot of streaming stuff. I watch Grace and Frankie with my wife.
Uh-huh.
Good Place. I was really impressed by that. I love that show. You would find this hard to believe, but I'm as popular as it is, I've never seen an episode of Rick and Morty.
You haven't seen Rick and Morty?
It's weird that I haven't.
Have you actively avoided it?
No, not on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Most of it is because I don't get Cartoon Network.
You don't get it?
Not that I don't get it. It's
right.
That I don't physically get it.
Uh-huh.
I'm on Philo, which is a streaming service that has many of the channels except for the Turner channels.
What is there anything you'd like to promote? I know you're doing some.
I started doing stand up again, so I'm going to start doing that.
So if you're in the Burbank area?
If you're in the Burbank area for now, I need to start. I think my big test is next month. I'm going to work with Dana Gould. So that'll be a different audience. Right now I'm doing stand-up at once a month at a place called Flappers, and they do a showcase of voiceover talent. So usually it's like me, a guy named Brock. He's the Kool-Aid man.
Brock.
Yeah. Carlos Elsrocky, who was Rocco, Rocco's Modern Life. He does a show called La Casa Grandes now on Nickelodeon. So it's a fun little thing. It's not really that serious, but I feel like if I actually go before an actual comedian at a comedian show, I don't want to, you know, say that these guys aren't comedians, but I think that's a test because it'll be people who, you know, aren't there for the fandom of voiceover people. Like they won't go, "This is Brack," and everybody goes, "Whoa."
Uh-huh.
I don't think that'll happen.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Want to say something in a funny voice?
Hello, stupid dummies and stupids full of poop. 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 Poop.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks.
There you have it. That was Andy Merrill. A couple things. Snake Jazz is available digitally now on all relevant digital platforms, Spotify, iTunes, etc.
We're really pumping that Snake Jazz.
They're putting out more songs.
That's
more. Remember how Snake Jazz was made available last week?
Yeah.
On all relevant digital platforms? Well, guess what? Losing a Friend is available digitally on Friday, April 24th. The song is featured in Rick and Morty episode number 402, The Old Man in the Seat. This episode will replay this Sunday, April 26th on Adult Swim. The next song will be coming soon, Sunday, May 10th for episode 406.
Andy made a bunch of music. Should we also have links to Brack songs?
Yeah, links to Brack songs. Sure.
Yeah.
We'll provide links to the things that we were talking about. We always have links on this show. That's one of the main great things about this.
That is a nice part.
Visit AdultSwim.com or download the Adult Swim app to watch The Brack Show, Space Ghost, whatever. But some of the things Andy and I were just talking about, it's free for Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Android, iOS, all those things. Watch our live streams. Like Last Stream on the Left, Truth Point, As Seen on Adult Swim, of course, Fish Center and Blood Feast. Music from today's episode is from our pal Dom, his song, Bochicha. Love Dom. Do you know Dom?
Dominic?
That's his name, yeah, Dominic, but he goes by Dom. Thanks to Dave Bonowitz and Christina Loringer for putting this podcast together. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week on the Adult Swim Podcast.